wherever you are, if you're with friends or you're on your own, or if you have a family here, gather your youth, gather your kids. We're going to have a different sort of message this day as we talk about the gift. And as we talk about the gift, I want us to think, and we already know when I say the gift, you know, we already know what we're talking about, don't we? But I want us to think about it in a different way, and I've brought some things to help us this morning as we talk about the gift. One of the parts of the Christmas story that has influenced our lives, especially culturally, is what the wise men did when they followed the star, and then they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They bowed down, they worshipped him. And I think sometimes we don't think about that, but worshipping is a gift as well that we give to the Lord because he is worthy, the Lord Jesus, because he's worthy. And they opened their treasure chests and they gave him these gifts. And from that, so often, has come all of our giving as well, if you will. For a lot of people, this is what they see. I was speaking with my mom and dad last night by phone, and if I were to talk with you, many of you, all of you, would have your own stories about gift giving. If I were to ask you, what was your favorite Christmas gift? For those of us who are in the Wednesday night group, I think it was Steve shared he got a bicycle one time, right? Which was a huge deal for them because they had to stretch their pennies. So that was a huge, huge gift. And all of you, many of you, you would say, oh, my favorite gift was this. Or you have something related to gift giving. You'd say, oh, this is what we did in our family. So as I was talking with Mom and Dad, Dad said they didn't get a lot because they were a farming family, but they would always have something. And he said then one Christmas, the kids found the gifts early. They got into the Christmas gifts, and they opened them all before Christmas. And so their mom and dad were so upset that on Christmas, for Christmas then, on their Christmas stockings, they just put in some fruit. And the kids were really angry and said bad things about Santa. That was before they were Christians, before they were a Christian family. Mom said that in their family, they only received one gift each, and it was never costly. It was usually something like a game that could be shared with others. Mom said her mother, so as we go back in time, things get much more simple. Her mother, my grandmother, received an orange for Christmas. That was a nice thing because in those days, you didn't have your local park and shop or the market outside. And something that came from another place, that was shipped in from another state, was a big deal. It was extravagant. So an orange was a nice gift. For most of us this day, if you were to receive an orange for breakfast, for Christmas, I'm not sure how you'd feel about it unless it were a really delicious orange. But we're going to talk this morning about giving gifts. And when we think about the three wise men, we think about, of course, we go beyond that to the most wonderful gift of all. This morning at the beginning of the service, Steve read to us from 2 Corinthians 9:15, a verse which honestly is one of my favorite verses. As I have gotten older, I have come to the place where verses that we don't normally think of as Christmas gifts have actually Christmas scriptures have become some of my most favorite scriptures, especially one of the other verses that we read, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us and we beheld his glory. It's one of my favorite Christmas verses as well. But we read that verse from 2 Corinthians 9:15, and we know that the most wonderful gift when we think about Christmas is the gift of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is, what word is used? Given. A son is given. John writes, and we read that as well, for God so loved the world, or God loved this world so much that he did what? He gave his one and only son. And so giving is wrapped up in Christmas, and the most wonderful gift is the gift of Jesus. And Paul writes it this way. Paul, the most expressive and the most eloquent and probably the most educated of all of the New Testament writers, says very simply, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. And yet, we have a whole Bible trying to express in words that wonderful gift that goes beyond our words. And yet we try, especially at Christmas time, when we have sermons and messages, to put into words the wonder of the gift of Jesus. And that's what we're going to try to do again this morning as well. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't use words. It just means that the words which are part of this world are never enough to encompass and express Jesus, because he goes so far beyond that. But what I have done this morning, as I prayed and as I prepared, is I brought some gifts. I don't know if you can see them here this morning, right here on the table in front of me. I've brought some gifts for us, and so it's a different type of Christmas message this morning, but I believe the Holy Spirit led me this way. So we're going to look at some of these gifts this morning to help us understand the gift that is too wonderful for words. And so we're going to look at some of these, and this is going to be a different sort of Christmas message. And like most of you, so we're going to look at each one of these one by one. And like most of you, I have been really busy through this Christmas season. Have some of you been really busy through this Christmas season? I know you have, because I've talked with you. Some of you have been able to take a bit of a break, but most of us, it has just been far busier than we would want. And not all of my gifts are going to be as timely as I would like them to be. I ordered something for my sister in the U.S., and I can't tell you what it is because she may be watching, so she will find out. And so I went online. I was so proud of myself. I went online, and I looked through. I'd been thinking of it anyhow, and then I brought up, I put in the order, and the order page came up, and I thought, oh, great, for Christmas. And across the top of the order page online was this large banner that said, order by December 14th to guarantee Christmas arrival. It was December 17th when I placed that order. And so that gift to my sister is not going to get there in Christmas time. It's not going to be a timely gift. But let's see. This gift, however, which side? I'll hold it on this side right here. This gift, however, is a gift that I ordered several weeks ago. I ordered it from Amazon. So I ordered it about 3 weeks ago. This is not an empty box, by the way. There is something inside. And I ordered it about 3 weeks ago. Bless Amazon's heart, it arrived about 2 weeks ago. And about 1 week ago, I wrapped it. And on December 25th, I am going to give it to the person for whom I bought it. It's going to get there at just the right time. It's a timely, timely gift. What does this gift tell us about Jesus as we're thinking this morning? What does this gift tell us, this timely gift? Well, look with me at Galatians 4, 4 and 5. And Paul writes, let me put this gift down, this timely gift down. But when fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, that means under the law as well. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And God tells us in his word that the gift of Jesus arrived at just the right time. That's what it means, but when fullness of time had come. Some of your translations may say when just the right time came, depending on which translation you are reading. When the time was right, that's the meaning behind the phrase, the fullness of time, not too early, not too late. I think about that with me. Daniel had prophesied about the timing of the Lord hundreds of years before these things were to come to pass. And those times were coming to an end, just the right time. And Daniel's prophecies, if you go back and look and you look at the timing of them, Daniel's prophecies are accurate to the day, to the day. The same thing about the prophecies related to the life of Jesus, including his crucifixion. And when we see that, when the Bible tells us at just the right time, or when the fullness of time had come, and it's related to the time of Jesus, it's related to the work of the Lord, when it's related to God's plan in this earth, what that tells us as Christians and even as those who do not yet have a relationship with God is this. It gives us the stamp of authenticity on the work of God and on the life of Jesus. So when this is written in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, It lets us know that Jesus came in fulfillment of prophecy. What else does this let us know? What was going on in the world at that time? At that time, in the European world, it was the Roman world. For all intents and purposes, it was the Roman world. There was the Pax Romana, as it was called, those of you who remember from history. And that means the peace of Rome. And there was relative peace and harmony among the different nations over which Rome ruled. And that meant that there could be commerce. That meant that there could be transportation. That meant that roads were built. And what that meant was that as Jesus was born and as he grew and as the gospel went forth, there was an environment that was conducive to the spread of the gospel, even though the world was very wicked. Jesus came at just the right time. And so when we think about the gift of Jesus, it's a timely gift. It's a timely gift. Not too early, not too late. There's another scripture I want us to read as well. And I love this one. You've heard me quote this one before from Romans 5:6. Look with me at what it says. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. At just the right time, Jesus came for you and he came for me. But the gift of God in Jesus is not just a time in history, a point in history that is past. Because Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's grace in vain. What is the marvelous gift of God's grace? It's the gift of Jesus. And Paul writes, he quotes from the scripture. He says, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. And then Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, writes, look, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And that encourages me this morning. As we think about this timely gift of Jesus, it's not just a point past in history, although the timeliness is for that point past in history. It is that the gift of Jesus and the grace that is in Jesus is timely today. Look, now is the day of salvation. What are you going through this morning? What are you facing this morning that is too big for you to handle, that is too great for you, that you feel is crushing you, that is beyond your strength to bear? I say to you this morning, look, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of the grace of God. And now is the moment for you. And so the gift of Jesus, this timely gift of Jesus, is for now. It's for you and it's for me. Praise God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Amen? Amen. Amen. But that's not the only gift. That's not the only good thing about this gift of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at some other gifts as well. And I want to look at another gift. Let's see. How about this gift? Look with me at this gift. Now, this one's not quite as nicely wrapped as the other one, but now this one we're going to open. And I want to open this one because, hey, wow, look at this. It's a Lane Crawford gift. Nice, huh? Let's open it up, shall we? And let's see what this gift tells us about Jesus. Beautiful. Beautiful. I like this gift a lot. Do you know what my dad would say about this gift? He would say, this gift is a dust catcher. Do you use that expression? It's a dust catcher. Or it's a sitabout. And you know what? He would be right. Now, my dad wouldn't care very much for this gift. I'm very happy with this gift. I would take this gift and I would put it up on my bookshelf and I would enjoy it and I would admire it. But my dad is right. It will catch dust. And it doesn't do anything. I can't drive a nail with it. I can't do anything with screwdriver. It won't tighten any screws. I can't wash dishes with it. I can't do anything with it at all. But it's beautiful. But it's a dust catcher. It's a sit about. And one of the things that this gift tells us about Jesus is this. There are a lot of people in this world that think of Jesus in the same way as this, right? Oh, yeah, it's nice. They get to Christmas time and they see a nativity scene and they get warm, fuzzy feelings about. They sing Silent Night. They sing Silent Night. All is calm, all is bright. And they think of the baby in the manger. And they really, and they, maybe they go to a nativity play or something like that. And they have warm, fuzzy feelings. But it doesn't go beyond that. And for them, Jesus is not much more than something like this gift, which is a dust catcher. It's a sit about. It doesn't, Jesus doesn't do anything in their lives. He's a nice concept. He's a nice idea. There's nothing bad about this, but he's not practical. He doesn't do something in my life. And honestly, that's how a lot of people feel about Jesus. But this is what else this gift tells me about Jesus. And it's the contrast of this gift. Because Jesus, in our lives, as a gift, is not a dust catcher. And he's not a sit about. And the Bible tells us, look with me. We're going to look at several verses. Let me put this lovely gift, this dust catcher. By the way, the few men who are here helping run the service, when I pulled this gift out, they kind of looked at me like they felt the same way about it, I think, as my dad does, if he were to see it. But here we find out something about the gift too wonderful for words. 1 Timothy 2:6. He gave his life as a ransom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. Jesus has come into our lives, the gift that's too wonderful for words. He has come powerfully into this world and to every heart and every life that will open to Jesus. He comes in and he changes our lives and he makes a difference. He doesn't sit on the shelf in our lives. He came into your life and he gave his life as a ransom for you. This is the message that God gave. Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to cleanse for himself a people that are his very own, committed to doing what is good. Look at the powerful work of Jesus as he gives himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness. These words, depending on the translation, they're actually the same words, ransom and to redeem, depending on the translation that you're using. And these are words that in Greek were used to describe the price that was paid to redeem a slave. It was the redemption price, the price paid for release. And that's what Jesus, among the many things Jesus has come to do, that is what Jesus has come to do in our lives. Look with me at Galatians 1:4. Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, just as God our Father planned. A beautiful, beautiful verse. Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Let me ask you something this morning. Do some of you this morning feel, oh God, I need rescuing. I need rescuing. I don't know what your situations are. We look at this sometimes and think of these verses as salvation verses for a sinner to a saint, for someone who's not yet born again to someone who is born again. And it is true that these verses refer to those things. But what I want us to see this morning is in this gift that is too wonderful for words, that Jesus gives himself to rescue us. This is not just for sinners who don't yet know Jesus. This is for you this morning. If you are in a storm, if you are battling something, if there's something in your life and you think, oh, God, help me in this area, Jesus has come to rescue you. He has come to rescue you. He has given himself. He has given his life to rescue you, whatever it is, whatever situation. Yesterday, as I was preparing and going through these things, I finished up a lot of it, but it took, as it often does, a long time. It always takes longer than I think it's going to take, even when I have been preparing and am well prepared. And as is so often true for us, for all of us as Christians, thoughts began to bombard my mind. Have thoughts ever bombarded your mind that just aren't very nice? they're just kind of ugly, right? Whatever it is, whatever it is. And they were just bombarding my mind. And I thought, oh, I didn't want them there. But I had been reading and I had prepared this verse and I was thinking about it. And I stopped where I was with these thoughts bombarding my mind from the enemy. And I just cried out to Jesus. And I just said, Jesus, rescue me. And he did. And he did. And this is what the gift of Jesus, too wonderful for words, has come to do. Amen. Amen. So that's what that gift tells us about Jesus. But there are other gifts as well. And let's look at a few more this morning. Those of you who know me know that I love wrapping gifts. Do you know that one of my favorite things to do around Christmas time, if I have time and when I have time, is to turn the lights down low, to light some candles, to put on some Christmas music. The Christmas tree lights are blinking, and I take out all of my Christmas wrapping paper and all of my bows and all of my coordinated name tags, and I begin to wrap gifts. I can do it for hours. Some of you would rather be poked in the ear with a sharp stick than do that, wouldn't you? That just sounds like torture to you, doesn't it? I love to do that. I love beautifully wrapped gifts. And right now, this Christmas, I think this is the only one that I have wrapped thus far because it's been a bit busy. But after today, I'm going to sit down and do what I've just described because this is what I love to do. But I want to talk about a gift. This morning, let's look at some of the gifts on this table, and I want to talk about another gift. And I want us to look at this gift this morning. Not very nice, is it? A bit ugly. Very simple, very plain, a little bit crunched up, a little bit tattered, not looking so nice. In a gift exchange, this gift would be the last gift picked, wouldn't it? I wouldn't pick it first. And don't get too spiritual. You wouldn't pick it first either. This would be the last one. You'd get stuck. You'd get stuck with this gift. But what does this gift tell us about Jesus? Surely a gift this plain and this unassuming has nothing to tell us about the gift too wonderful for words. Let's look at some scripture. Isaiah writes, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. There was nothing to attract us to him. That's this gift, isn't it? That's this gift. Nothing beautiful. That's what Isaiah said about Jesus. We love to imagine and think, and all of our culture shows us a very physically attractive Jesus, a very appealing Jesus. But Scripture tells us otherwise. Jesus on this earth was like this. But not only that, not only was there nothing physically appealing about him, but Jesus, the Son of God, around whom all heaven gloried, came to earth and wrapped himself in human flesh, frail and weak and broken like this. And Isaiah says there was nothing beautiful. But look with me further at this passage. By the way, this passage that we're looking at right now is the most quoted Old Testament passage that appears in the New Testament. It talks about Jesus, this gift. We read in verse 3, he was despised and rejected, the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with sickness and deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. The punishment needed to obtain our peace and well-being was upon him. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Notice the words that Isaiah uses. Notice the pronouns he uses here. This is hundreds of years before. You and I read this verse, and it is our temptation to say, Isaiah was talking about those wicked Jews and Romans who stood around the cross and despised Jesus. Isaiah does not say that, does he? What does Isaiah say? Isaiah says, it was us. It was me, or it was I. It is I. It was our sins. It is our weaknesses. And this gift reminds us that he took all that he took on and all that he became and all that he endured that we so, and that the world so despises and so rejects and so dishonors. It's all of the things that he took from us, from you, and from me. Those are the things that made him despised. Those are the things that made him rejected. Those are the things that made him weak. And this gift reminds me that he took on our flesh so that he could make his home with us, so that one day, praise the Lord, we can make our home with him. I think this is my favorite gift. I think this is my favorite gift. Amen. I encourage you to go back and read this verse again and think of it in terms of Christmas. And I encourage you to go back and put yourself in this verse. Read it for yourself. It's from Isaiah 53. The passage is much longer than that. It actually begins in Isaiah 52, but it goes all the way through. It's 12 verses. And see this again as the gift too wonderful for words. Because when we think of all the majesty and the glory, that plain gift is part of the gift that's too wonderful for words. Amen. I want us to look at another gift this morning. And this one I'm going to open. Let's see. I'm not going to do what I used to do when I was a child. And even as an adult, I drove my family crazy. It took me 3 or 4 minutes to open a gift. Because in the same way that I loved the wrapping, I would so carefully, I would peel the tape and I'd save. And I know some of you are looking at me like, you want me just to do this, don't you? You want me just to do that? So let's look at this gift. Wow! Socks! Men, how many of you have received socks for Christmas? Stephen has not. I don't even know if you can be a real man and not receive socks as a Christmas gift. Joshua, David, have you received socks for Christmas? I don't know what's wrong with the Habombo family. Nomer, he's back there. Have you received socks for Christmas? I don't know about the Silverio family either. In our family, real men get socks for Christmas. In fact, my dad's dad, Pop, as we called him, one Christmas got 4 pairs of black socks, individually given. I think every grandchild, I'm going to get Pop a pair of black socks, because we didn't know what else to get him. And I think, I'm so sorry, men, you would probably agree, that the gift of socks is probably because your friends, your wife, your kids don't know what else to get you. I'm going to get him some socks. He can use them, and they're practical. But I think we would agree, there's nothing very unique about socks, is there? There's nothing outstanding. There's nothing special about socks. I may have to pass these on, because you know I'm not a man, and they're socks. But what does this gift tell us about Jesus this morning? What does this gift tell us about the gift too wonderful for words? This gift is a contrasting picture. And what I want us to see this morning is that unlike, and I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, I'm really not, that of the many gifts we get that are not unique, that are not special in any way, the gift that is too wonderful for words is exactly the opposite of this. Look with me. John writes in John 3:16, you've already heard it this morning, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Look at John 1:14 and 18. "The Word became flesh, took up residence. We observed his glory, the glory as the," what? "The one and only Son." And then in verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." And John, of all of the writers, if you read in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, you will also see that John again uses the expression, "the one and only Son." And the word literally means a special son or the only born son, but it also means in the Greek, special, unique, one of a kind, and incomparable. And I love that because that's what that expression, one and only, means. And we look at those socks and there's nothing unique or special about socks, about socks as a gift. But the opposite picture of that is that Jesus, and John uses it over and over again, that he is the one and only. This is the expression in Hebrew. Remember we talked about this? That God uses for Isaac, also the miraculous son that God gave Abraham, your son, your only son, the son that you love. And it describes one that is not like any other. And so I say to you this morning, as you think about the gifts of Christmas, Jesus, the gift too wonderful for words, is a gift like no other. There's no one else like him. There's no other gift that can compare. He is incomparable. And this gift tells us not only about Jesus, but it tells us about the love of God that he would give his one and only son. You see, gifts tell us a lot. That we look at the gift itself, but it also tells us something about the giver, doesn't it? It tells us something about the giver. And this aspect of this unique gift in Jesus points to the last two gifts that we look at this morning. And I want us to look at another one this morning. And this is a really special gift. It's in a small box. It's this gift this morning. Let me open it for you. I don't know if you can see it. It's small. Here, let me do it this way. Can you see it? It's a pin or a brooch. Maybe you can see it a little bit better that way. This is a special gift. This is really special. This is precious. I want to tell you about this gift as I show it for you. Do you know why this gift is precious? This gift is precious because it belonged to my grandmother, my mom's mom. My grandmother, who has been with the Lord for maybe almost 30 years now, was a very simple woman, Amish background. But there was one thing that Grandma loved, and she loved pins and brooches. And all my life, from early childhood to growing up, I always remember my grandmother with a pin. It was one of the few fancy things she wore. It was almost the only fancy thing that she wore. And when my grandmother passed away, my mother inherited this pin. And I remember, as a young person, my mother wearing this pin. And she wore it many times. And then my mother decided that before she passed away, she wanted me and she wanted my sister, Becky, to enjoy some of these pieces of jewelry and gifts. And so she began to pass on some of these gifts to us. And so this is precious to me because it was precious to my mother. And it was precious to my grandmother. because Grandpa gave it to her. It was a gift of love. And so this gift is really, really precious. And I love this gift. What does this gift tell us about Jesus? I think you already know, don't you? It's a precious gift. And Peter writes, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." And then he goes a little bit further in chapter 2, and he describes this gift too wonderful for words. He says he's the living stone rejected by men, but chosen and valuable to God. Another word for valuable is precious. That word is also used. And then in verse 6, God, speaking of Jesus, says, "Look, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and valuable cornerstone, or a precious cornerstone. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." So I want to ask you something this morning. In the busyness of Christmas, in the busyness of your lives, you're a believer this morning. Is this stone of Jesus the gift too wonderful for words? Is he precious to you this morning? I really mean that. Is he precious to you? Or have you and I gotten so busy and so wrapped up with all the things that we are doing and all of the earthly relationships that we have that we have devalued the precious gift of Jesus? This in 1 John is almost a perfect representation of John 3:16. Same writer again. And he says, God showed how much he loved us in this way. God sent his one and only Son. Oh, same expression again, right? Same writer. Into the world so that we might live through him. You see, this gift that is so precious points to the love of God for us. Not just that Jesus is a precious gift, and he is, but it points to the love that God has for you. And this is a wonderful, wonderful gift. It's a precious gift. And this points to the last gift this morning. Here's one more gift. Those of us who've lived in Hong Kong know what is in this type of gift, don't we? And I want to talk about this just briefly. Over the years, I have become friends where I park my car during the week. I've become friends with the parking attendant, who is an older Chinese lady originally from the mainland. And so I try to work on my Cantonese, but we usually speak Mandarin together. And we have become friends. Sometimes I'll take a piece of bread or something from the bakery as I go back, and I'll give it to her. And we'll talk. And she has fish in her fish tank there in the little parking booth. And she'll show me her fish, and she'll tell me about them, and we'll talk about this and that. And so, of course, at Chinese New Year, I give her a red packet. But a few months ago, for no particular reason, I just decided I had opened up my purse, my wallet, my billfold, to get out my money to pay her for the day. And I saw in my billfold that I had a Maxim's gift coupon worth $20. That's what's in this. And I had two of them in there, and I pulled it out, and I realized, oh, I've had that for almost a year. And so as I paid, I took this out, and I didn't even put it in a red packet. I took one of them out because I had two, and I handed it to her, and I said, oh, this is for you. She looked at it, and she took it, and she almost started to cry. And I'm telling you this because this is a gift that tells us about Jesus in contrast. Not because I did it or anything like that, but it took me by surprise that she was so overwhelmed. I mean it. She almost started crying. She almost started bowing her head. She says, "Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much." And she obviously meant it from her heart. And so I gave that to her. And you already know that she's going to get this one too. This is the second one. But here's what this gift tells us about Jesus. And this is a gift that's a contrast gift. Because I want to tell you about this gift. This gift I got when I filled my car up with gas at Hong Wah Kyun. Maybe Kim got them too. I don't know. Oh, maybe he liked me. So I got one. And I went back about 2 weeks later and I filled up my car again. And the man gave me another one. Just here. He poked it through the wind, through the car window, and I thought, thank you. I'll take it, and I put it in my billfold. But I put it there, but I just hadn't done anything with it, and I'd kept it in my purse. Here's the point of this gift. When I gave this gift to my friend in the parking lot, it cost me nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nothing from my pocket. It cost nothing. What does this gift tell us about Jesus by contrast? You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. And the wonderful gift, too wonderful for words, is a gift that cost Jesus everything. There was no other way he could make us rich with forgiveness. There was no other way he could make us rich in peace with God. There was no other way that he could make us rich with eternal life. There was no other way that he could make us rich with the promise of heaven for all eternity than to give up everything he had to give to us. That was the only way. And the gift too wonderful for words that has been given to us, that we have received so freely, cost Jesus everything. Everything. And that's the gift too wonderful for words. I said that was the last gift, but there's one more gift here. And this is what we close with this morning. Let's open it. Empty. And this is how we close this morning. What are you going to give Jesus? It's up to you to put something in the box and give to him. What do you think would please God? What do you think he wants from you? So I've given him my life. I love him. I walk with him. Yes, so have I. But for each one of us, there is something in our lives. There is more of who we are. It may be of our time. It may be of our devotion. It may be of our obedience. It may be of our choices that we can give to Jesus. And I exhort you this morning as we come to the end. We look at all these gifts that remind us of Jesus in one way or another. What gift will you give to him? And I urge you, in the same way that you are spending time thinking of gifts for your loved ones and your friends and others, I urge you to spend some time thinking of what you might give Jesus this Christmas, a commitment in your heart to him. And that's how we're going to close this morning. Would you join me wherever you are? You can put your hand on your heart if you want to, because the best gifts that we give Jesus that please him the most come from our hearts, come from our wills. And Jesus, this morning, we don't really have the words. You're the gift too wonderful for words. And yet we've tried to use our poor and pitiful words and inadequate words to describe you and express you, this who you are this morning. Help us not to rush through this Christmas season, but to take the time to think of these things, even as we wrap gifts, even as we buy gifts, even as we give gifts to friends and loved ones. Help us to think of you and your gift to us. And Jesus, I pray that for each one of us, that we will please your heart and that we will express our love to you by something that we give you this Christmas, something that you want, something that we know we can give that will bring joy to you. We thank you for being the gift too wonderful for words, who who came at just the right time. We love you too. We know you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.